The Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder, does the Bible accept the idea that a man is innocent until proven guilty? Yes, it does, my friend. In fact, the law of Moses so detested the notion of false accusation that if a person were found innocent, the same penalty they might have received was instead given to their accuser. Americans also claim that a man is innocent until proven guilty, at least through lip service, at least on paper. At least if your name is not Donald Trump. In his case, rather than being investigated because he was charged with a crime, prosecutor Robert Mueller is looking for a crime. Apparently, they have found nothing about collusion with Russia, so now they're trying to get him for obstruction of justice instead, or just get him to agree to any open-ended interview where he will run off at the mouth, as he always runs off at the mouth, and eventually contradicts himself, as anyone who runs off at the mouth eventually would, so that they can charge him with lying to the FBI, so that Mueller will have at least some trophy to hang on his mantle. Mueller, maybe you should have just learned how to sing. Then you could win a Grammy Award and put that on your mantle instead. Then you wouldn't feel compelled to conduct a witch hunt. Gotta just love the leaked questions of Special Prosecutor Mueller. Mr. Trump, what did you think and what did you do in reaction to the news of a special counsel? Now, what's he supposed to say? Jay, I think Mueller's great. The day this investigation began, I did cartwheels right in the West Wing. They're also asking him how he feels about Sessions' recusal, about Comey, all kinds of things. Are we now being interrogated by thought police who will try to incriminate us for what we're thinking? Has our Justice Department been reduced to one of the old Barbara Walters interviews? Mr. President, if you could be a twee, what kind of twee would you be? Well, now I have a question of my own. Mr. Mueller, if you were to actually conduct an honest investigation and assemble a team of objective people rather than pathological Trump haters, what would such an investigation look like? Would it go after real obstruction of justice, such as Hillary's smashing of her phones and bleach bit cleansings of her hard drive, all of which she had been ordered to turn over to the FBI? And in that investigation, would you write out your decision not to call for prosecution before even interviewing her? Newsflash, if Democrats retake the House, they will impeach President Trump regardless of what Mueller finds or doesn't find. Facts will not matter. They hate Trump and resent him for winning an election that in her minds he was not supposed to win. Period. They crowned Hillary prematurely, and he denied her the throne. It's just that simple. Now, I know, Democrats such as Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi are asking their peers to stop talking about impeachment during the 2018 congressional midterm elections. Let me be clear. This does not mean they would not impeach Trump if they regained the House. It merely means they understand how popular Trump has become. Rasmussen has him at 51%. And they know that fear of impeachment will rally the conservatives. But once they regain the House, they can do anything. Nothing will stop them from impeaching this man. Doesn't mean he'll get removed from office. That's up to the Senate. But nothing will stop the House from impeaching him. Look, now I'm partly saying this because I just don't trust Nancy Pelosi. But as it happens, if you want a little more objectivity here, without even using the word impeachment, she has already suggested that the Russia probe could lead to the quote-unquote unraveling of Trump's presidency. just because the word impeachment isn't being tossed around, don't believe for a moment that they aren't talking about the same thing. Meanwhile, more important things are going on in the news. Absolute proof that Iran lied to us about nuclear deals. No surprise to any thinking person, and as much as they were already chanting death to America and death to Israel while Obama was making this crackerjack deal. But now there is documentary proof. Even so, watch for a big fight in Congress. Watch for a bunch of pure idiots to insist we should continue the deal anyway. Just watch. Well, if you'd like to weigh in on anything, you can always reach me on Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net. That's questions@bobsiegel.net. Speaking of Facebook, as you know, there are two ways I can be contacted over Facebook. One is a personal message that only I would see. Another is right on my timeline. Now, I read as many comments over the air as I can. We're only on once a week, but I do as many as I can. I certainly do most of them. And I do make dissenting comments my priority over the air. However, and this is very important, I do not always leave dissenting comments on my Facebook timeline. One of our regular listeners and Facebook friends, Tim, takes issue with me over this. He wrote the following: "Allow me to say that I find this difficult to reconcile with your comments and observations regarding efforts on the left to stifle dissent. In fact, your very post referencing the article about which you censored me, you wrote, 'In the name of tolerance, the left once again shows that they will tolerate no views other than their own, even if the First Amendment has to be ignored in their legislation.' Your Facebook page is yours, and you have an absolute right to control its content. I understand this does not evoke a First Amendment issue, but the principle of how we treat dissent remains. And as a media personality who often espouses strong political opinions on your Facebook page, at least some dissent among the comments should be expected. To limit only those comments that agree with or support the sentiments of the post seems to be contrary to this type of forum or the principle of open and reputable civil discussion, even if only among those followers who wish to engage through comments. But again, this is your page, and I will respect the manner in which you choose to control its content, and I will try to call in to comment on the air. And feel free to read this exchange on the radio, if you like, and perhaps address how it fits in with your statement on your radio show after discussing AB 2943 and other topics where you state, if you want to weigh in on any of these issues, you can find me on Facebook." Okay, well, Tim, since you invited me to respond over the air, I will. Tim, are you truly saying I'm someone who stifles dissent and debate? Seriously? I believe that anyone listening right now who has followed this radio program over the years is practically falling out of their chairs. They are finding this insinuation astonishing, especially from one such as yourself, who has called the show and dialogued with me over the air many, 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 many times. And always for the purpose of disagreement, always to challenge something I said. And not just you. I have often booked special guests, atheists, people of other religions, and a plethora of others with dissenting opinions, invited precisely because they did have dissenting opinions, invited for the sole purpose of debate. After the live broadcasts, the debates are posted to my website where people continue to listen to them. And Tim, in your case, I've not only allowed you to express dissent on this program, but I've allowed it for years. I have read your written comments out loud, often responding point by point. I have had you on the air in person, by phone. Both you and your comments have been given very generous amounts of time. On some occasions, I've had you on almost the entire hour. So you'll pardon me if I say that I reconcile my view about allowing dissenting opinion just fine. I do invite people to contact me on Facebook along with other places. I do not always leave dissenting comments on my timeline. However, far more importantly, I do make it a practice to read dissenting Facebook comments over the air. In some cases, I will leave a dissenting comment on my timeline, and instead of arguing on Facebook, I'll put a quick comment telling the person that what he said is going to be read on the radio, encouraging him to call in on the air and respond to my response. In your case, Tim, I've done it both ways. Comments of yours that were removed from my timeline are still read over the air, where far more people hear them. But just because I encourage Facebook comments, that does not mean I'm always going to get into it with people on Facebook. I do not find that the best platform for debate. I used to get into it there. I used to do internet debate all the time, not just Facebook, all kinds of places. The problem is that it never ends. If somebody disagrees with one of my points, I can quickly refute them and write a little comment. If that were the end of the conversation, that would be fine. But that's never the end. You know that. I know that. Everybody knows that. Many people, yourself included, Tim, will just keep going and going. They will respond to my response and then respond to my response to their response and so on and so forth. Again, it never ends. And I do not have enough hours in my day. This leaves me with the choice of leaving a comment that I vehemently disagree with unanswered right on my own timeline, or committing myself to endless nonstop written dialogue. Having control over my own website page or Facebook page is a hop, skip, and a jump over Sacramento making certain kinds of free speech against the law. We are comparing apples with oranges. I also find internet argument disingenuous, inasmuch as one who wants the last word can always find some website or some so-called piece of information that verifies his position, and he's got all the time in the world to seek it out, do a quick Google search and find it, and then he never moves on. In real time, conversations are more genuine. A real debate in real time forces people to put their true cards on the table, demonstrating what they honestly know or do not know about a subject. Tim, obviously, anyone willing to debate in real time is a person who welcomes and does not shy away from dissent. I think you know that. As an additional token of my sincerity, I just now read aloud another dissenting comment of yours and took a lot of time to address it. Now, regarding your other point, my views about the Sacramento bill, their bill about reparative therapy, and your suggestion that you did put on my Facebook timeline that it would not actually stifle sermons in the church. Tim, a Christian sermon by definition calls for action and offers the healing work of the Holy Spirit. It is a kind of reparative therapy if they are talking about homosexuality. And Christians are, for the most part, the only ones today claiming that one can be delivered from homosexual tendencies. This means Christians are obviously the apparent targets of this bill. Now, I had a guest on this radio program just a few weeks ago, herself healed and delivered from a homosexual lifestyle, who wants to offer the same to others, who personally had spoken to the Sacramento Congress, expressing her concern, telling them how much she believed this was going to stifle free speech in church. Nothing they said to her convinced her otherwise. The problem is that the law is too generally worded. My guest, Ann Polk, also suggested that even California pastors who offer counseling for free could be in danger if some attorney wants to interpret the tithing of a parishioner as payment for counseling service. And this not only includes counselors, but the sale of any books which promise healing from a gay lifestyle. Ann came on my program after her visit to Sacramento, explaining how even passages from the Bible could possibly be banned due to the very general wording of the bill. Now, that may sound like nonsense to people, but that's already going on in Canada. Focus on the Family must omit Romans 1 and other key passages of Scripture from their Canadian broadcasts. In my opinion, this bill from Sacramento is the greatest assault to our religious freedom ever to come forth in America. And I do not believe the passage of such legislation will be the end of our restrictions. In many countries of Europe, it is already against the law to even speak against the practice of homosexuality, regardless of whether or not money is changing hands. Whether a Christian is talking compassionately and lovingly or not, their viewpoints are still labeled as hate speech if they do not give assent to that practice. We are not far from that place in America. Many activists are dedicated to bringing us there, and they have not been shy about admitting this agenda openly. I'm convinced this will be the next step if AB 2943 passes. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
You only need to listen to this radio program once to figure out that Bob has very strong opinions on a wide variety of issues. But one of Bob's strongest passions is freedom of speech itself, even when such speech challenges his own convictions. So feel free to send Bob a comment or a thought-provoking question. You can reach Bob on Facebook, Twitter, or questions at bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
To 1170 The Answer. Our call and toll free number 1-888-344-1170. Tim, welcome to the Bob Siegel Show.
Hey Bob, thanks for having me on.
Sure, always good to hear from you.
Okay, so
hello Tim.
Yeah, can
you... We're having some trouble with our connection, it seems like.
No, how about now? Is that better?
Yeah, much better.
My apologies. I want to defend myself just a little bit if I could. I made my comment. It was not saying that you never allow dissenting viewpoints. I certainly never said that and didn't mean to imply it. I was specifically referring to my comment about AB 2943, where I actually pointed to the law itself and the legislative history and made a comment that it did not... And I understand your analysis, but the law itself does not attack anything that's not based on products sold or money exchanging hands. And it was in response to a comment that someone else had made to your comments. So it wasn't really directed so much at you, because I know you don't like to have exchanges on your Facebook page.
And do you understand my reasoning for that? Did I explain that to your satisfaction, why I don't think Facebook is the best forum for that?
I do, but I think that by the same token, having a lot of yes men to say, oh yeah, you're right, that's terrible, that's horrible, and so forth. I mean, to have if you say weigh in on my Facebook and people weigh in on your Facebook, I think you have to expect a certain amount of that. Now, whether you want to take my comments off, that's your business. It's your page. You can do that.
I do expect dissent, and like I say, over the air, I give the dissenting comments the priority. But like I said, on Facebook, and it depends. There are a lot of times on Facebook, and I've done this with some of your own, where I will leave it, but I'll just tell them I'm going to respond over the air. It depends on what is said, how long it was, how provocative I thought it was, and how much I want to leave something that I so much disagree with out there in the open. I do think real-time debate is a much better place for that.
I will not disagree with you at all on that.
Okay, well, anyway, since you're here right now, go ahead and make whatever point you wanted to make about that that law from Sacramento about the reparative therapy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did respond to the, I think you heard my response a little bit to that too.
Yeah, and you did provide more information than what I had previously read from you on that, and I appreciate that. Here's my position. Number one, if anyone starts using the government to stop a preacher from saying what they have to say about homosexuality on the pulpit, then I will stand shoulder to shoulder with you to oppose those kinds of efforts by the government, because I do believe in the free exercise clause as much as the separation and the establishment clause. And so I stand with you on that. I just don't think there's reason yet to get upset about that for something that hasn't actually happened.
Well, it is starting to happen. There's an actual counselor who is both a counselor and a pastor on staff at my church, Skyline, who was told that he had to discontinue that kind of reparative therapy. So it actually is happening. And again, I think sometimes people, I know that in your case, Tim, you don't consider yourself a Christian. You talk as though you know a little bit more about religion than some non-religious, but not as much as people that are actually practicing it. And a lot of times people will say things like, well, this isn't really going to stifle the church, but they do it with their own definition of church. For example, when California passed Proposition 8, and one of the, I don't know if you remember or listened to me on the radio at that time, but I went out of my way to say, look, I don't agree with same-sex marriage, but if I really thought it was going to stop there, I wouldn't like it, but I could live with it. It's not going to personally affect me, but I know they're not going to stop there because I have been following the militant gay agenda for years, which they're very open about. And by the way, I don't believe that the militant gay activists speak for all gay people. So I want to be very fair. In fact, I think most gay people don't really want to have anything to do with that. Carl DeMille is a good example. He was on my radio show about a month ago making that same claim. But people were insisting that that was not going to infringe on any freedoms. And I said, yes, it will, because they don't plan to stop there. And now all of a sudden, some baker is told that if he's not willing to not just bake and sell, but decorate a cake for a gay wedding, that he can't do that. And people say, well, that doesn't have anything to do with the church. Well, it absolutely does, according to the New Testament definition of the church. The New Testament doesn't define the church as just this service on Sunday morning where we can do anything we want inside the walls of a building, but we can't practice our faith out in the real world. There is also the church scattered in addition to the church gathered. So it is absolutely interfering with our freedoms. A lot of actual laws in the name of hate speech are already going on in Europe. There are people that want to practice them here. So it's not only the law itself, it's where the law is going to head. And the argument that I always have with people is it's not just me, but conservatives for years have been accused of getting paranoid, worrying too much about the slippery slope. I get that. But I have to say that every single step along the way, I have seen the slippery slope happen just exactly as I predicted it. And I don't think it was a hard prediction, because it's human nature. Generally speaking, people who were once persecuted, and I think gay people have gone through horrible persecutions, I do. But people that have been persecuted, when they gain power, usually the amount of power they gain is not enough and they want more. That's just human nature. That's just our joint heritage as human beings. I'll let you respond.
It's also our human nature that we don't like to give up our status once we have it. And that has been the status of the dominant culture throughout American history. So there is a struggle going on there.
Well, the word status is a neutral word, though. Whether it's a good status or a bad status is something we could talk about. But if a status is a good status, we should not give it up. Tim, can you hang with me over the break?
You got it.
I'm going to let you hang with me over the break because I don't stifle dissent. We'll be right back. This is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480539, W&S Electric.
Hi, I'm Dana Wright, here to talk about Bob Siegel's book, I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But... The title itself is an open-ended question. You fill in the rest. I'd like to believe in Jesus, but is there really proof for the resurrection of Christ? How could a loving God send people to hell? How will God judge people who never heard of Jesus? Can a scientific mind really accept miracles? These are but some of the concerns keeping honest seekers from considering Christianity. In an interesting, down-to-earth style, Bob tackles the hardest, most painfully honest questions. Rather than shoving these topics under the rug, Bob shows respect for his readers by providing detailed and compelling explanations. This book has been enjoyed by both skeptics and Christians alike. I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But... by Bob Siegel. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
You're listening to the Bob Siegel Show. We continue with our caller, Tim. Okay, Tim, I know you were in the middle of responding and we got cut off. Go ahead and continue.
What I meant by status was I meant a culturally dominant status among people who say were white, straight, and Christian. If throughout American history, if you were not one of those things, I mean, there's a lot of other things too. I'm just saying, if you were not one of those things, chances are you're going to be pretty marginalized throughout American history. And that's true. If you weren't white, you weren't going to have the same status, as good of a status. If you were not straight, and especially, you certainly weren't going to. And if you weren't Christian, you weren't going to have as good of a status.
I think these days gay people legally do have a good status. My only concern is that my freedom of speech is not stifled. And that's where I see us heading. It is far more a free. The issue of homosexuality, there's all kinds of issues the Bible comments about. This is one of many. And it is not that much of a passion with me. It is the one that seems to be leading to the losing of our freedoms, and the freedom does matter to me very much. So unfortunately, it becomes an unavoidable subject.
If your freedom to talk about your dissent about homosexuality, if the government takes that freedom away from you, I will stand shoulder to shoulder with you to oppose that.
I believe you would, Tim. But so let me ask you: would you stand shoulder to shoulder here? This case of the guy that didn't want to decorate the gay wedding cake, that has been unfairly misrepresented. First of all, he did not have a sign on his shop saying, "If you're gay, I will not sell you a cake." He did not have a sign on his shop saying, "If you're gay, I will not sell you a wedding cake." If he did, I would be against him too. He was talking about the artistic expression of the way he designs it. That not only gets into religion. How would we like it if the government started telling filmmakers what kind of films they had to make, how many gay characters they had to put in? There's actually something like that already going on in Minnesota. It's artistic expression. It's political expression. It's religious expression. And people respond by saying, well, that didn't have anything to do with the church because he's not a pastor. That doesn't matter. He was practicing his Christian faith. So would you stand with him?
Absolutely. I think people who don't understand the law, this is a legal issue. And the issue of discrimination in this case has to do with whether or not he is offering a public accommodation. Okay, like a restaurant, like sitting at the counter at a diner. It's like if you went into Vaughn's and they already had made the cakes and you wanted to buy a cake that was there and say, no, we're not going to sell that to you because you're gay. then that's violating their rights.
Right. And of course, that was not what he was doing. To me, it's like if you went into a Jewish delicatessen and asked for pork, they would say, we don't sell pork. Now, can you imagine if somebody said, well, as a pork eater, I find that offensive and discriminatory. He'd say, look, you can go buy pork somewhere else. Now, if the Jewish delicatessen did sell pork, but said, however, I won't sell pork to certain people, then that would be another story. So maybe we're on the same page with this.
We are on the same page, and look, I don't really care what the religious belief is, and I may disagree with that baker, and I believe that baker is wrong in his beliefs. However, I will stand shoulder to shoulder with him in his artistic expression to not be forced to make something artistically that he doesn't want to make, and I don't even care if it's because of religious or any other reason. You can't force someone to engage in artistic expression under any circumstances.
Yeah, good. I think we're with you. And likewise, if somebody went into a shop run by a gay baker, and this is a scenario I've put out before, and said, I would like you to decorate a cake for our heterosexual wedding, which so far he ought to be willing to do. But then I went on. I said, and I'd like you to decorate it and put actual writing in the icing that says God intends marriage between a man and a woman. Okay, those are my beliefs, but I would not insist that the gay person have to do that because I would defend his right to freedom of speech and freedom of artistic expression as well.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you on that.
Okay. Let me just ask you, just out of curiosity, now this doesn't get into the government, but at the Academy Awards the last couple of years, they're starting to say that if there are not a certain number of African Americans in movies, you may not be nominated for an award. They're at least talking about making those rules. Now, that's not the government, but how do you feel about that?
I think if they want to lose their credibility, and then that's their business.
Yeah.
I don't really care. I mean, look, I don't really watch the Academy Awards that closely. It's kind of fun. I wish it wasn't quite so political, but it is what it is. And there's probably a reason why it's not getting the ratings that it once did. And so if it wants to hang itself with its own rope, then let it do it. This is a free market, you know?
They haven't been that amazing in their own right lately anyway. And I'm somebody that used to love the Academy Awards. I love films. Okay, Tim, I think we're having a lot of agreement on this one. Before I let you go, due to the nature of the original things I was reading about, are there other things you've mentioned on Facebook or have wanted to talk to me about that you don't feel you've had a chance? Here's a chance for us to catch up a little bit.
If I had thought about other topics, I'm sure okay. I would have come to
All right. Well, you're welcome anytime. I will probably, if it's not too long of a comment, I'll probably in the future, if I disagree with something you say just right, I will respond on Facebook. My problem with other of my Facebook friends responding, and I love them dearly, they don't always give the best responses. Sometimes I can agree with the argument somebody's making, and I don't really care for the way they're making it, and I just feel like it exacerbates the situation even more. I guess you can understand that.
I do, and I hope you can understand where sometimes those comments make it hard not to respond.
Yeah.
in my own defense, my concern is that I think there are people that might read the headline of an article you might post, and headlines are notorious for not reflecting well what the actual content of the article is.
Yeah.
And they'll read the headline, which is sensational, and go, oh, yeah, that's terrible. And not read the content of the article or read the actual thing that it's referring to because it's already appealing to their confirmation bias about the issue.
Yeah.
And what I'm more concerned about is I want people to not just say, well, someone said AB 2943 is terrible, therefore it is. Read the law. Figure out what the law says. And decide whether or not that is something that is legal or
yeah.
not legal.
I think it was the general wording. I used to put a disclaimer on all of my Washington Times columns that I will respond in, and those comments always were left there, that I would respond to them over the air. That's something I could certainly get in the habit of doing more on Facebook. Tim, always good talking to you.
You too. Thanks, Bob.
Take care. is Bob Siegel. As a Christian apologist, I hear scorning and ridicule all the time from Bible skeptics and unbelievers. Some churches will still respond to such people with love and understanding. Others do not.
You Christians are such morons. There's no proof that God exists, and only a pea brain would believe in miracles. Wake up! Step into the 21st century. Besides, Christianity is responsible for most of the world's problems.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Relax, my friends. That's not the kind of response you'll get from Skyline Church. We welcome you just as you are, with all your doubts, all your questions, and all your concerns. Your problems with religion are understandable, and I promise at Skyline you'll experience the love of Jesus Christ, not the revenge of a Sith Lord.
Skyline Church, Sunday morning services at 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m.
Siegel Show. Just a little more on, oftentimes you've heard me on this show talk about what I call the militant gay agenda, which again, I know I give this disclaimer a lot, but it's important. I don't think the militant gay activists are speaking on behalf of most gay people. They're certainly not speaking on behalf of public figures like Tammy Bruce, Carl DeMaio, who was a guest on our show. And there were all kinds of things he and I had to agree about on that issue. But back in the 80s, here was an agenda that was laid out right from the beginning, and I'm reading from Jeff Levi in a speech that he gave to the National Press Club. This was way back in the year 1987. He said, "We are no longer seeking just a right to privacy and a protection from wrong." Now, again, if a gay person is seeking a right to privacy or to live any way he wants to live, as a Christian, I may disagree with his lifestyle, but as an American who believes in our Constitution, I would stand by that right. But listen to what he's saying. "We are no longer seeking just a right to privacy and a protection from wrong. We also have a right, as heterosexual Americans already have, to see government and society affirm our lives." They're asking for government affirmation. And the laws going on in a lot of countries in Europe now, right now, are making it against the law to not be affirming or to speak in an unaffirming way. And it goes beyond that. There was a book called After the Ball, which probably should have been called The Militant Gay Manifesto. It was a couple of writers named Kirk and Madsen. And they were talking about how they were going to change everybody's attitude about homosexuality. They listed all kinds of techniques. One was an obligatory gay character in sitcoms who has his head screwed on straight. There's always going to be some person there who disagrees with homosexuality. He's either going to be made out to be a real buffoon, or he's going to learn a lesson and change his attitude by the end of the episode, or maybe both. It wasn't going to show somebody who maybe had some legitimate points to raise on the other side about why that lifestyle might be wrong. But listen to what they said, because I think this is chilling. They said in this book, After the Ball, which also came out in the 1980s, "Our effect is achieved without reference to facts, logic, or proof." Let me read that again. "Our effect is achieved without reference to facts, logic, or proof through repeated infralogical emotional conditioning. The person's beliefs can be altered whether he is conscious of the attack or not. Indeed, the more he is distracted by even spacious surface arguments, the less conscious he will be of the true nature of the process." In short, jamming succeeds. Jamming refers to repeating something again and again. Like if we were talking about abortion, be my body, my choice, my body, my choice, right to choose. And people think, "Well, gee, I believe in the right to choose." And they don't even stop to think about whether this may be a life. So in short, that's what jamming means. In short, jamming succeeds. And as far as it inserts even the slightest frisson of doubt and shame into the previously held unalloyed beliefs regarding heterosexuality and homosexuality. It was also taught by these same gentlemen that somebody who disagreed with the gay lifestyle must be vilified, even if they knew they were in a villain. Even if you're meeting some Christian that says, okay, I hate the sin, but I love the sinner. I love you. We can be friends. We can be buds. I want to share the love of Christ. I just disagree. Even somebody who you knew had that sincere and loving of a motive must be vilified for the greater cause. And I'll read it from their words. To be blunt, they must be vilified. We intend to make the anti-gays look so nasty that average Americans will want to disassociate themselves from such types. So I think that's very interesting. How do you insist that an entire society affirms something without challenging freedom of speech? What about those who cannot in good conscience affirm a homosexual lifestyle for religious or other reasons? When one group of people demands affirmation, how does the First Amendment apply to everybody? I was mentioning a film. Now, this was a documentary film, but in Minnesota, there was a husband and wife team making a film about marriage, Christians, and there's a battle going on in the courts right now about whether they should be forced to also talk about gay weddings in their film. So we could argue that that violates their religious freedom. I want to call upon some of you artists. Maybe you're an atheist. Maybe you're an agnostic. I respect that. I was an atheist for many, many years. Start standing up for your artistic freedom. That is also important. Well, continuing with comments, we spent a lot of time on Tim's regarding the possible impeachment of President Trump. Russ says, here's another view, Bob. I think impeachment is the campaign theme for the Dems this midterm. Well, again, Nancy Pelosi's saying it shouldn't be the term. But some of them, certainly Maxine Waters and many others, are calling for his impeachment. They see Trump as a good fundraising vehicle. Impeaching him would remove that. Yes, their base is that stupid, ideological, and easy to manipulate. They get their news, which is not news at all, from the mainstream media, comedians, and smartphones. Guns and Trump are the best things they have going right now for raising money. The DNC is broke. That is the truth. Steve says, but Bob, no laws have been broken, so how can they impeach? That is very hard to do, isn't it? Oh, you'd be surprised. They're going to act like laws have been broken. So far, there's none that they know of. Now, David does not seem to like Trump at all. He says, I wonder if you could simply write an article of impeachment that read, resolved, Trump is a moron and we hate his rotten guts. Well, David, even though I know you're, at least you seem to be talking tongue-in-cheek, his opponents really have very little more than that. They do think he's a moron. They do want him gone, and they're desperately hoping they can find something illegal. You may think he's a moron, but he's our duly elected president. And by the way, David, did you call Clinton a moron for paying North Korea $5 billion to not build nuclear arms? Did you call Obama a moron for lying about health care, telling people they could keep their doctors if they wanted to? Somehow I doubt it. This is Bob Siegel. I've been on the radio for many years, but let me tell you about a voice I've learned to appreciate far more than any radio announcers, Fred Falduti of Realty Executives All Area. Now, why do I care so much about Fred's voice? Because not long ago, Fred's voice spoke the following words to me.
Bob, I have some good news for you. They accepted your offer.
That's right. Fred Falduti just sold my house. With words like those, who needs radio? Folks, I'm telling you, choosing the right realtor is no small task. Fred took a personal interest in my situation, treating me less like a customer and more like a member of the family. And Fred's been doing this since 1994. Realty Executives All Area has sold thousands of homes locally.
Our footprints are throughout San Diego County, and we are proud of our accomplishments of assisting home sellers and buyers like you. Over the years, we've managed hundreds of real estate transactions and have encountered just about every kind of challenging situation possible.
That's it, folks. That's the voice that will sell your home. Whether buying or selling, the man you want is Fred Falduti with Realty Executives All Area, 619-719-7000. 619-719-7717. That's 619-719-7717 or fredfalduti.com. We radio hosts love to talk, but let's face it, when have we ever sold your home? Fred Falduti will.
Bob Siegel's fantasy novel, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, is now available on Kindle, Nook, and in print copy. Check out some of the wonderful customer reviews on Amazon.com. Reviews such as this one. Wow, what an incredible story. Well written, believable characters. The story takes twists and turns that keep surprising the reader. Although it is written from the perspective of a preteen, it is most appealing to an adult. Takes one back to those feelings and longing for adventure. I can't wait for the sequel. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Okay, reading a few more comments about the investigation with Donald Trump. Bill says, unfortunately, the progressives are not interested in anything or anybody that won't allow them to continue the government as they want it to be, which, putting it mildly, the continued rape of the American people with their corrupt leaders from the FBI, DOJ, and others who only want to indict every member of the other party who actually want the government to serve the people instead of having people serve their progressive ideas, while increasing our national debt to the point that we will never be able to recover from the hole they have put us into. Wow, that's a mouthful, Bill, but you said it very well, and I do agree. Regarding the Mueller investigation and the kinds of questions they plan to ask Donald Trump, Tama says, what a complete waste of the people's time and the people's money. Joy says, I know, it's all sick. I hope the Republicans beat the pants off the Dems in the midterm elections. I hope so too, Joy. I've got to say the Republicans have been Trump's greatest enemy. There's a fifth column right in there with the Republicans. Because when he talks about, and I should say, I know a lot of time you hear me defend the conservative, more Republican position. I am not a Republican or a Democrat. I was a Democrat for years, and now I am a registered independent. And I'm not one of those independents that says, gee, this guy sounded more presidential. Maybe I should vote for him. This guy's tie looked better. This guy smiled more. No, I'm an independent who's really independent, who really tries to give independent thought. That's at least what we independents are supposed to be. A few weeks ago, I began a series on the subject of Satan. When we're talking about politics and evil in the world, as you know, the Bible goes behind the curtain and tells us the source of the evil. I remember a few weeks ago beginning that during our last segment. So when am I continuing it today? During our last segment again, which means we're not going to get through it all, right? We're just going to whet your appetite, but I will continue it next week. Just going to review a little bit because it was a few weeks ago. You can go to my website, though, and find this and listen to it. Satan is not some creature in hell with horns and a pitchfork shoveling coal. He's a creature of God, very beautiful, intelligent being who through pride decided he wanted to be God. Many angels followed after him. Those angels are in a spiritual prison, a component of a place called Hades. That component is called Tartarus. The offspring of those angels are called demons. Satan has free reign on earth. However, he influences us through another dimension, so we do not see him. By the way, I can verify firsthand that demons do exist. I have actually cast demons out of people as a pastor. And they were real, honest to goodness, filthy beings that were cast out. Satan was defeated on the cross. The worst thing Satan can do to a person is encourage them to sin. He can't make us sin. That phrase, the devil made me do it, that's inaccurate. He can't make us sin, but he can encourage us to sin and then arrange circumstances that will kill us. Now,
he can't arrange any circumstances that God doesn't allow. If God doesn't allow it, it can't happen. But we have free will. We do evil as people. Satan and Satan's demons that follow him have free will. So the worst things he can do is encourage us to sin and kill us. Well, on the cross, Jesus paid for the forgiveness of our sins. And through the resurrection, he enabled a way where we can someday resurrect. When you get to heaven, you're not going to become an angel. Angels are different beings. You're not going to sit on a cloud strumming a harp. You're not going to have native women stick grapes in your mouth and fan you with fig leaves. You're actually going to have a position of authority, and you're going to continue living as a human being. If Adam and Eve had never sinned and stayed in the garden, imagine what that would have been like. Maybe that's unimaginable, but that's closer to what heaven is like and then what we see in Hollywood. There are different names for Satan given in the Bible. The name Satan itself means adversary. The name devil means accuser. We're told that Satan accuses us day and night before the throne. This person sinned, and then it's like a courtroom. Jesus stands up like our defense attorney. Satan's like the prosecuting attorney. Jesus stands up, says, Your Honor, on such and such a day, this person gave his life to Jesus Christ. And then God the Father, acting as the judge, says, case dismissed. Another name for him is Beelzebub, which means prince of the demons. He's also called the father of lies, and he's called the god of this world. Now, that confuses people because the Bible teaches there's only one God, and some erroneously suggest that maybe Satan's another god, but like an opposite god, an evil god. The word god in Greek, that word was theos, and it could translate deity, but it could also mean a judge or a ruler. Satan is certainly a ruler in this world. Now, God created the world, gave it to human beings. Our ancestors just made a mess of that. They forfeited their authority over this world. When they did that, it opened up the door to Satan and his legions and his demons. So now they are in charge of the world. When Jesus went into the wilderness after he was baptized and fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, Satan came and appeared before him and tried to get Jesus to worship him. He showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world in a single glance and said, all these kingdoms have been given to me, and I will give them to you if you will follow me. Well, the good news, of course, is that Jesus did not follow him. But what's interesting is Jesus never argued the point with him. Jesus never said, what are you talking about? These kingdoms have not been given to you. So that's interesting. But he also called him the father of lies. He said, when he lies, he speaks his native tongue. All right, well, I promised we'd only do it for a few minutes, and darned if I wasn't right. We'll talk more about Satan when we return to the Bob Siegel Show next week.
Siegel Show on AM 1170, The Answer, is sponsored by Bob Siegel.